thrusters won't stop firing.
I think I'm being followed.
My dad is turning green, like, literally green.
My last nav check put me on Lagrange Point 4.
This is Control, via radio. Keep calm and remain on the guard frequency.
Welcome, pilots. You've tuned to the guard frequency because, as all good pilots know, when you're out in the deep black, you want to keep one ear on the guard. This is episode 490 of the Best Damn Space Game podcast ever, recorded on Friday, June 14th, 2024, and made available for download on Tuesday, June 18th, 2024, over at guardfrequency.com. I'm Jeff.
I'm Ken Shadow.
And I'm Tony.
Thanks for joining us. If you like what you hear during the show, stick around for the closing to find out how to support us.
What have we got in store this week, Jeff?
In this week's flight deck, we bring you all the headlines from simulated space, including the latest news from Elite Dangerous, Star Citizen, Starfield, and Helldivers 2.
After that, we continue our audio adventure, Guard Frequency Origins, where the value of hygiene and teamwork are no match for dumb luck.
Finally, we open up the feedback loop and let you join in on the fun.
Lace up your Blue Deuce campers. It's time to head out to the flight deck.
Speed 175, Port Bay, hands on approach, trigger screen, call the ball.
Don't get technical with me.
Here are the top news bits from the world of space games.
Elite Dangerous did its part to help FDev eke out a 500,000 guinea quid profit last year. The sale of the Python Mark II and the increase in ARX prices surely dragged the company out of the red. Or it might have been all of the salaries they saved by firing everyone. We'll probably never know. Also, even Galnet News is starting to complain about the slow pace of the narrative outside the Thargoid War. In fiction, the new Federation president was elected over a year ago, but it has yet to take office. So, things are running a little behind.
Star Citizen, released early access pre-alpha release candidate, prototype experimental test build 3.23.1-live.9204897 to the live server. Richard Tyrer is just barely keeping his promise that 3.23 won't be as bad as 3.18, because even though backers are still getting 19k errors and potentially bricking their accounts until the next server wipe, it's not that many players, and the players who were exploiting the duping bug are getting swift and firm judgment from the game referees at SIG. Over 600 accounts receive suspensions, ranging in time from days to months. Let this be a lesson to everyone playing a game that is in alpha. Don't touch anything, you might break it.
Helldivers 2 released a patch that rebalanced many of the game's weapons and stratagems, mostly with the idea that every single one of them could maybe be useful to somebody. So some things got damage buffs, some got better armor piercing, some got faster cooldowns. All the devs ask in return is to make it harder to shoot while running or crouching. Oh, and when it comes to a choice between a cool new toy and saving the children, the Helldivers community got it right. And then the creative director sprinkled the cinnamon of prosperity on the whole wheat toast of liberty in real life. And Starfield shot itself in the foot again, releasing a trailer for the Shattered Space DLC expected later this year, and dropping the creation kit with one extra feature. That feature is charging $10 for something that looks like part two of one of the Shattered Space DLC storylines. I guess this is just another beta test. Just to see if that actually works, if that flies with anybody. I mean, so you pay for a DLC, and then you don't get to finish the DLC unless you pay another $10 into the creation kit, into the creation store. So I wonder if that's going to work. I wonder if people are going to cotton to that a little bit.
How much is the DLC? I didn't even look.
I don't know. I think it's $20 or $30. I don't know, because I bought the premium edition, so I'm going to get the DLC for free, except if I want to finish the, looks like the Bounty Hunter storyline, I'm going to fork out another $10. So
I bought the collector's edition with the watch and everything. Does that mean I get the DLC as well?
Yes, but not the end of the Bounty Hunter quest.
Oh.
And for that, you can pay $10.
And is the $10 for the creator? What is the $10 for? I'm a little confused.
So, yeah. So what they're doing, and I think they did this a little bit in Fallout 4. I don't remember, because I never did any of this stuff. But some high-performing mods or stuff that Bethesda wants to release could be sold through the creator market for actual money. So, I never did that. I never did any of those. I never did the creation stuff, the creator's kit stuff, or any mods for Fallout 4. So I'm not sure how that was all set up. But my understanding is that on this one, that is a way to incentivize modders to make high-quality additions to the game. And so, but Bethesda's using that channel to push an official Bethesda, not DLC. It's a mod pack. It's an enhancement through that channel. Clearly it's a way to get people to just open up their wallets and punch their credit cards into that system so that people can just, impulse buy the next thing that they want to get.
I get it. But why is that? Why? What specific features required in order to finish the DLC?
I don't know. They're touting this as a feature. It's like, and you can use the creation store to do all this stuff, including getting extra bonus DLC content.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Wait a minute. I paid for the DLC already. You've made the DLC. Why is that not in the thing that I paid for?
Yep.
Why are you carving this bit out to sell for extra money? So, yeah. In a game where, one of the big complaints was repetitive and insufficient amounts of content, doing that just seems like a really bad idea. So,
yeah, it's not a good look.
Anyway.
So, on to Stratagems and Children's. It sounds like a Class A move from Arrowhead. I'm a little disappointed that we didn't get a child size ordinance to deploy instead, but
yeah. I mean, and this is the thing is, Brian, I think it's the second time, maybe the third time, that the community had a chance for those anti-tank mines that you were wanting so long ago. and we dropped the ball.
I mean, we got, well, no, it's the second time, right? Is it? Maybe third?
I think it might be the third time, because I think the second time that we had the chance, the community had to like rescue a planet or something within a certain time frame or something like that.
We just didn't get there.
And we just didn't get it done.
Yeah.
This is the second time people have chosen not to do it.
The first time they got airburst rockets, and those
are
just so popular, right? Everybody runs with those.
They're just not
Don't team kill you at all.
Yeah, those aren't great. I've seen, they're better.
I don't know why people.
But back on the subject of the kids, what they did, not only did the community choose to rescue the Infection hospital full of orphaned children, so that they chose that rather than to unlock the anti-tank mines. But once it happened, the creative director, Pildstedt, Johan Pildstedt, donated thousands of dollars to a children's charity, posted the link, and then said, everybody, we've saved the children, now go save some real children. And, so we'll save the children. So I think that gets like a cool vibe, it was a nice gesture. And, hopefully they'll do more of these things. These in-fiction things might, inspire some more of that kind of thing.
Can't do them too often, but it's a positive. No.
Again, once a month, once every couple months, make it in connection with Christmas or Thanksgiving or I don't know, whatever. It's a fun thing.
You don't want to give people these kinds of choices all the time in the game, because then it goes from being cute, to being like an overused marketing tool. You know what I mean?
I think that much like their patch cadence, let's find that edge and then back off. Right.
Yeah.
I think they're uniquely positioned to do that. If they do some sort of charity thing once a month or once every month or 6 weeks, they have a major order that says choose to feed the hungry or, get a new anti-automaton weapon or something, I think that's a fun and appropriate thing, right? It's marketing, you're right, but I think it's also fun and also
I think for it to be effective, people have to not be expecting it to be the thing, right? Now they're expecting it. So if they're going to do it again or do something like this again where they especially affect a charity, it has to be hidden behind something else, I think, in order for it to have any kind of mystique in the game. Absolutely. We'll see.
They're
we'll
clever.
See what this master class of game development and marketing comes up with next.
But further on to the actual game part of it, he released a huge patch trying to rebalance a bunch of weapons and a bunch of stratagems so that other things can be viable. Because I had, before the patch, I haven't played the patch yet because I'm in the middle of moving stuff, but before the patch, I had a loadout that I used for every mission. And the only thing that changed between automatons and terminids is I would take a laser dog for the terminids and I'd take a shield pack for the automatons.
Mm.
Otherwise, I just always carried the same thing every time.
That's because you're a boring individual, Tony.
That may be.
I also had at least two loadouts. At least.
At least two. Oh.
At least one for bots and one for bugs. I played yesterday. I didn't get a chance to play today, and I don't think they've changed anything necessarily. And I tried out a couple of weapons. All of the weapon improvements I've seen have been positive. There have been some that I wish were more positive, but whatever, right? I think those are in general good, but I will put a caveat on there in that it was not a super enjoyable experience from the spawn perspective. So we played on the and you'll notice there are comments on the Reddits and on the Discords about the community manager acting surprised. He's like, "What do you mean spawn's broken? I haven't even had a chance to play yet." It is the one of the big changes in this patch was reverting the spawn changes to what it was pre-spawn changes, but at the same time add in new types of spawns that could happen, including like roving bands of shriekers and roving squadrons of bot missile boats or whatever they're called.
Oh, the gunships?
The gunships. Roving
That's
bands
horrible.
Of gunships. No, without any kind of gunship platform that you can destroy, they're just roving around the map in packs.
Oh, that is terrible. They should not have done that.
And those aren't so bad. You're just like, okay, I know they're happening. We gotta get at least one or two guys with a laser cannon or something like that. You know, it's not that big of a deal, right? But the spawn, like, you know, the first match we played, or at least I played, they've been playing before, dropped in on not Margaret, Valens or whatever it is, right? The kid planet, and immediately swamped with bots. Just an insane number. And like some of them had their, a lot of them were easier to kill now, which is a nice positive, but some of them have had their damage boosts. I got like one shotted by a chicken walker, you know, which never happened before.
Yeah.
And like, you know, lots of things were like instant kill, you know, it's probably like a headshot thing or something, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people online have commented that the bots just have crazy good aim from crazy good distances now, which is again part of it too, probably. So
I did see two notes in there that made me raise my eyebrows, and maybe this is feeding into what you're saying. One is that one thing they said was we want to increase the sort of lived feel in areas that don't have a lot of objectives in it. So that means that those empty areas that you used to be able to walk through now contain spawn points. And the other thing they said was, we want it to be more of a horde thing. We want not as many medium heavies, more light mediums. And so there's more of a crowd control problem that you're going to have. Those are two things that stood out to me in the patch notes. Did that feed into what you saw?
I'd say that makes sense. I saw less... We only played bots, so again, I can't compare with the bikes. But we saw less tanks and like the shield devastators. But we did see a lot of...
chicken walkers.
A lot of chicken walkers, lots of normal bots, lots of the rocket.
Rocket devastators.
Rocket devastators, yeah, and things like that, right? Which I probably considered mediums, right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if that's what they're they've upped the spawn of just low and which again, maybe it's just really a problem with bots, right? Because on bugs, you get swamped, you have your crowd control, and you just lay down like the murder, right?
Mm-hmm.
With bots, it's like, it's not only it's the things around you, it's the things that are like half a mile away also like sending in waves of bullets, right?
Yeah. They may need to stop doing the one size fits all thing for just hordes in general, right? They need to separate out bug hordes and bot hordes. Yeah.
The game plays totally differently depending on those two enemies, right? It's a very different game. So yeah, they definitely need to think about them differently. But again, back on the actual weapons and stuff, again, positive experience around. Weirshow and Chop points out that the sentries are just rocking it now. The rocket sentry, we tried out the other night. It was just swinging around, just blowing airships out of the sky, blowing troop transports and things like dropships and all sorts of stuff. Changes to the grenade were really positive. The changes to all of the machine guns apparently were super great. I didn't find anything that I felt bad about there.
I will note that one weapon that did not get even a touch from them was the Liberator P, which is one of my favorite guns, which means it's already perfect. So that is the lesson that I take away from this. My favorite gun was already optimized. It's already perfect just as it is.
Sometimes when they don't touch things, it's a good thing.
Well, yeah, but that's what I said. There was nothing wrong with it. It was already, you know, par excellence. And let's move on to talk about a little Star Citizen this week. Last week we were giving CIG some, at least I was, giving them some reluctant praise by saying that Richard Tyrer seems to have gotten it right when the PTU release, it was bad. It didn't work. There are a lot of things going wrong with it, but it wasn't as bad as 3.18. And then it went to live. And it doesn't seem to have gotten any better. Maybe it seems to have gotten a little worse, gotten closer to 3.18, because people are getting the 19K error, the 19004 error, which back in the day, back in the 3.18 days, meant that the entitlements to your account were wrong or couldn't be reached or couldn't be done. And that meant your account was bricked until the next server wipe. No character reset, nothing you could do. It's just go do something else, go away, and then come back at the next server wipe. We can restore the database. And ships are still disappearing from people's accounts, even though they're not supposed to. So the graph database is not hacking it. Just is not hacking it.
It looks like they keep bringing it up and taking it down, but it looks like the character repair page is back up. So maybe they're taking requests to repair people's characters based on this. It would be good to know if people are actually getting through with that.
I mean, but at this point, and we talked about this when Richard Tyrer made that announcement. It's like we're gonna release things that are broken and see what happens. I mean, at some point, people are just gonna not play. They're just gonna be like, oh, this is their business practice. They release broken things. So, you know, I'll just come back when it's not ever broken anymore, ever.
I mean,
it's...
I think that's pretty much always the debate with Star Citizen.
Yeah, yeah. But then they say, oh, we don't have enough people to stress test this. Oh, we don't have enough people playing enough concurrency to figure this out.
Yeah, yeah. They have to add... I mean, we talked about this before, right? Like, if you really want people to do concurrency, you have to have things that you can earn in-game that don't get reset.
Don't disappear.
Yeah. So that ends up being a, an alpha time token or something like that, that, you know, you eventually can redeem.
And the things that they say that you get to keep, like earned ships, you actually need to make sure people can keep those.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, why are they going to play your game if they can't keep what they've earned? So it's just, yeah. So anyway. So one other thing that kind of comes out of that as a tangent on this is that it looks like CIG is dropping some banhammers.
Fairly large banhammers.
On the dupers. Relatively serious banhammers, ranging from a couple of days, like 3 days on the one end, to 3 months almost on the top end.
Screenshots with 3 months. I mean, I wonder, like, what the trigger was there. Like, is it how much cargo and money did you duped, you know, or is it a type of offense that you did? Like, was there lesser duping bugs and greater duping bugs?
I suspect that the duping exacerbated the server problems.
Ah.
Because what it is is a duping bug is a bug in which items are cloned instantaneously and added to your inventory through some exploit. right? I mean, so yeah. What you've done and in the graph database, all of those things are a thing and they have an existence and a number and a grid location and a blah, 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 all this stuff. And so through these bugs, if you're just like boop and just all of a sudden doubling your inventory, that is going to cause a load strain on the database where it has to like, oh shit, and try to keep up.
So I don't think that's
my suspicion.
That's quite how the bug worked. So I read up a little bit on this when it was happening, and I briefly considered doing it because I was on and seeing everybody do it, and I'm like, well, I'm already
here. Look at how rich everyone's getting. Oh,
well, I didn't really care about the money. It was I was actually, you know, maybe I should do it just to get experience. And then I was like, I don't really care that much. You know? I got to go fly somewhere else. That's like a 2-hour thing. I don't care anymore.
Yeah, that's like playing a mission in Star Citizen. Why would you want to do that?
Well, the missions are fun, but like just randomly flying cargo. I've never been like a trader guy. So again, I think the bug was pretty simple. If I remember correctly, you're basically, you know, you land and you put your ship away. And then as you put your ship away, you know, you sell the stuff and then you like log off and log back on. And then when you recover your ship, it still has the stuff on there, but your money's in the account, right? So it wasn't quite like duplicating things in the database per se. It just wasn't deleting things. And so that's
And again, to some extent, what's the difference, right? That stuff that should have been cleaned out of the garbage, right? Sure. Should have been like flushed, but it's not, it's still there. And remember those other things we've been seeing, you know, plastic bottles and space suits and hospital gowns and everything that should be getting cleaned up is not getting cleaned up. And this duping bug is exactly that same thing. So whether it's just creating inventory out of the blue or not cleaning up the inventory that should have been gone, that's increasing the load on the servers, which probably exacerbated their already
difficult problem. This could be punitive based on, you know, actually costing them something.
And that's what I suspect.
I'm suspecting they're just doing this so people don't. They got kind of a bad reputation from this because like there were so many people doing it, and it's like, oh look, you know, it just, you know, made all your mission grinding worthless because we can make, you know, millions of credits so fast over here. And so I think this was more punitive from the perspective of, you know, dissuading people from doing it in the future. Like,
but there are so many money making bugs and it's an alpha, so who cares, right? I mean, half the time the AUC gets wiped anyway.
That's true. Some server wipes. But they're not typically like, from what I, you know, again, you know, from what I have read, you know, that when people do some of these strategies, it's never like just, you know, doubling and tripling and, you know, your money like this, right? You're not, you know, stacking on millions. I think the bigger thing is right now there's a number of professions that are quite lucrative. And so you can just do normal gameplay and get a reasonable amount of money for affording the ships.
All right, Jeff. You're the third vote. We don't have Henry here, so we can break this tie. Is Star Citizen punishing people for breaking the database? Or are they punishing people for messing with the economy? Which one? Why are they now doing the bans? Which one is it?
I think the bans are a mistake.
Well, that wasn't the question. I want you to tell me who's right, me or Brian.
Neither one of you is right. I don't think.
Jeff, son of a bitch.
Honestly, I think, Star Citizen is well aware that this is a pre-alpha release, you know,
candidate prototype experimental test build.
Yeah. And
that's my line.
They're trying to find the bugs, right? So by manipulating the economy, so what? They need to know this stuff. So I don't think there's any actual bans going on. I think the bans are probably a malfunction of some kind.
No, they're actual explicit bans.
People are getting, well, you try and sign
they're
in
getting emails.
Well, if you try and sign in also, it'll pop up with a window saying, you know, your account has been suspended and it has a timer on it. And
I mean, that's not a ban, I guess. They're going to come back.
Ban is the wrong word, but that's the word that they use.
Did they give a reason for the, did anybody in the emails?
Game exploits, yeah.
Game exploits. Violation of 14.3 or whatever that.
Terms of service.
Yeah, TOS paragraph is.
Well, then they're in the wrong. I don't, either one of you is correct. They're in the wrong because this is exactly what this is the kind of information you would expect out of an alpha, you know.
So here's the reason I think that, I mean, like I was saying, they're doing it punitively, but they're doing it punitively with the hopes of not doing as many resets, right? And the problem is if money was free, if you've got two people, you've got what is the colloquial, Jane and Bob, right? If Bob goes off and he does this duping bug and earns millions and millions of credits, and then they close down the bug, and then Jane comes around and she's like, you know, oh, Bob got a billion credits. Well, you know, but I have to go grind it normally, you know, and then Jane's going to be dissuaded from playing, right? And so I understand what you're saying, Jeff, you know, you just roll it back and then they're all equal. Well, yeah, but Bob's on the boards, you know, tracking all the duping bugs and just goes on to the next duping bug and goes ahead and gets money, you know, quick and easy, where Jane is grinding the, you know, missions or salvage wrecks or whatever, right? And then again, Jane sees that Bob got billions of credits over here doing illicit things. That either sucks her into it, doing a non-gameplay, non-useful loop, or it just makes her mad enough to quit because other people, everybody's cheating at the game when they should be grinding the stuff normally.
But it's not a game yet. It's not a release game.
But they want you to play it as a game. That's the tricky part. They want you to play it so they can test it and get and test the servers and all the other stuff. If you're not playing it like a game, it doesn't serve them any good.
But if CIG does this kind of stuff, they're already on thin ice with a group of people across the board. They don't have the best reputation among game developers already. And this game has been stuck in limbo or alpha for 12 years. If somebody spins this right, they're going to come across as the real doofus of the gaming, of the
doofus. I like that. Yes. Yeah.
I think the general sentiment I'm seeing in the community is the exact opposite, right?
And they're like, what took you so long?
Exactly. Right? They were like, you guys should have done this like weeks ago.
Yeah. And the only explanation for that, Brian, is that it wasn't a problem until it started crashing the server.
Jeez.
They didn't care. Because we had a discussion in Discord earlier, it was yesterday or today. Griefers. Right? I mean, spawn camping and pad ramming and all this other kind of stuff.
Those are still people using normal game mechanics. And so that's
normal
fine.
Game mechanics. I mean, the game is broken because it's an alpha. So it's a normal game mechanic to use the duping bug.
So
was normal for weeks. It was, Brian, it was normal for weeks.
Sort of.
It was normal for weeks. They did nothing about it and didn't mention it. They just did nothing about it.
So
it was normal for weeks.
As a counterpoint, again, I mean, they don't have a system-wide crackdown on griefers, but they will ask people to not do that on occasion if they are notorious about
it. You know what might be a really effective way to really emphasize that request? A one-day suspension.
Well, I don't know. I've never seen these suspensions before, so this might be... This might be new technology
new
for them.
Tech?
Yes.
Great. Okay, maybe we can look forward to them doing that then. But
maybe
I guarantee you. You won't. Guarantee it.
Now, if they came out and said we're testing our that's what they should do, is that we're testing our ban functions, you know, or suspension functions.
That would be a great way to spin it.
Yes.
That would be a great way to spin it. We're testing our ban functions. You guys are the lucky guinea pigs.
Right.
See, and then we talked about deterrence a few weeks ago. Like you don't tell people what the trigger is, but you tell people what the consequence is. That's brilliant, Jeff. They should say this is a test of our deterrence system. That would be brilliant. But they're not going to say that.
They didn't tell people they were banning them in advance for this stuff, right? They just brought it all.
What I'm saying is what Jeff's point is that here's our deterrence system. We can issue these minor suspensions. We can do that. We have the tech now to do that. We put you in a timeout corner for a day.
And everybody,
so play nice and play good, or we're going to put you in the timeout corner.
But they just did that. They didn't talk about it as news, but they just did a big demo of that system.
But they should. They should come out and say that, because that would get rid of all of the why are you doing the duping thing but not the griefers, and why are you not doing the griefers but you're not going to do the spawn campers, but why are you not doing the spawn campers but you're not going to do the other exploit that just came out. I mean, it's that way. It's just that This is the deterrent system. You never know when we're going to get you. You don't know what's going to set us off. You don't know what's going to pull our triggers. But if you do, these are the range of consequences that we have the technology to impose. They need to come out and explicitly say that. That would be really brilliant.
To your point, Tony, you're basically what you're saying is that six communication could be better. And I don't think any reasonable human being would
argue. We say that every week.
I don't think any reasonable human being would argue with that on point. So just I will cede that particular point, which I didn't bring up to you, and leave that discussion as it is.
And lastly, we'll talk about Elite Dangerous as we do each and every week. And this week, there's just more fantastic news on the financial front from FDEV, not CIG. CIG, we don't get reliable financial figures from because of how they're set up. But FDEV is required to give reliable financial figures. And we can state with firm authority that they barely made a profit last year. Just barely. And I think that 500,000 guinea quid was all Python Mark IIs.
Ah.
I'm pretty sure.
I would expect a large percentage of that is actually layoffs. So.
No. Again. The layoffs got the expenses number way down. Yeah, but the revenue had to get over that line. And the Python Mark II, I think, dragged it over. If there wasn't a Python Mark II, I think they would have just barely had the loss. But with Python Mark II, it just got them just barely into the black.
But again, layoffs.
Well, cutting 20% of your workforce does save you a lot of money. So those expenses get crammed down quite a bit.
Yes.
Quite a bit.
I mean, it could be the Mark IIs as well. But did they say how many they sold?
No. Silly. No. I mean, number one, this is just the preliminary report. FDEV's fiscal year ends May 31st. So this is just 2 weeks ago, right? So this is their preliminary report. Their full annual report usually comes out in the fall, like September, October.
The Mark II.
So they'll have all the.
The Mark II is $10, right? Or 10 guinea quids, right?
No, I think it was like 25.
25. I didn't buy it. 25 guinea quids.
I think it cost me $30 in real money. But see, it all goes into arcs, and I don't have any clue. I mean, I know that it's like 80 arcs to the dollar. I don't know. I mean, they make it so complicated. I can't tell how much real money or guinea quid money I'm actually spending when I buy something with arcs. The math is just, obfuscated, I think, purposely.
I'm really kind of curious what their active player base is and how many people actually use arcs. That's what I'm trying to think about here. So let's say 500,000 is all Mark IIs, right? That would mean 20,000 people, again, using a 25 guinea quid mark as a baseline there, bought the Mark IIs. 20,000 people. Does that sound high? I don't know.
I suspect that what actually happened was that 10,000 people bought Mark IIs, and they also bought some paint jobs and stuff.
Mm.
So
yeah, that sounds more likely, yeah.
I think that's probably more likely what it was. And I also think that the raise in prices on the ARCs for those paint jobs and stuff probably contributed to it. So they're all probably patting themselves on the back for the good business decisions they made, monetizing ships and raising prices.
And nice we job. Will expect to see more monetized ships in the future, which
yes,
yeah. is...
I didn't mind it. I thought it was fine. I mean, I bought the Python. I had a bunch of ARCs sitting in my account already, so it was free money. Well, not free. No extra charge money. I thought as far as looking around at other ships I've bought in the past, like on Star Trek Online and even Star Citizen, it was a reasonable deal.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't game-breaking by any means, and it was a lot more convenient than hunting down where the right shipyard to go buy a ship was. So.
I don't have any desire particularly to buy the Mark II, but I'll probably build one and kit it out in game eventually. And if it takes them, making a couple of bucks on an early lead for new ships to be getting into the game regularly, I will happily make that sacrifice. And I don't have any problem with that. And people paying for early access, it's much better than going. How many years has it been since we got a ship before now?
5 years. They went 5 years between ships.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I'll take, yeah. You know, giving people that pay for an early lead, you know, the ability to get extra ships in.
Yeah, I agree 100%. So, you know, congratulations to FDev. You did good. You made good business decisions with Elite Dangerous, and they just barely dragged you into profitability. You know, thanks, and you're welcome. Do it again.
Now please sell me ship interiors I can walk around in.
Yeah, carrier interiors, guys. Come on, carrier interiors. Let's get on the ball here. But it has some knock-on effects, because as you did mention, Brian, there's the expenses side of the ledger. You know, that whole firing a fifth of your workforce thing that kind of happens. And so naturally, the lower priority items get shifted back and all this other kind of stuff. Things like Galnet News, things like you know, in-game fiction that doesn't directly relate to the Thargoid War, because over the, it was like almost a year ago, I think, that the president of the Federation was elected. And so in the power play world, Zachary Hudson is the current president, and Felicia Winters was supposed to take over because she won the election.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had some sort of like stupid in-fiction delay for some reason because the Thargoid War was heating up, and so we couldn't have a presidential transition just yet. And then they just sort of dropped it. Like, Zachary Hudson is still the president in the fiction, and Felicia Winters hasn't assumed office yet.
The Thargoid War hasn't finished technically.
I guess it's so dumb, but anyway. And so now in fiction, they had the Galnet News, you know, hey, look at this, they're publishing a couple of small articles in Galnet News, and in fiction one of the characters is like, what's this going on with Felicia Winters? No, she's not taking office. Maybe she doesn't really want to be president. Like what? That's okay. I mean, they're giving a nod to it, but I mean, even right. their in-fiction characters are sick and tired of the fiction not moving.
They just need to charge a subscription fee to Galnet News. Then it would move along just fine, I'm sure.
That's right. Monetize it, guys. Monetize it. You know, just, you monetize the ships, we get more ships. You monetize the news, we get more news. I mean, this is clearly.
I'm going to say it again, since we're on the topic of monetization, sell me a DLC pack that has like a total storyline in it, right? That moves it forward. You know, you can still have it all in Galnet, but like, you know, has speaking lines with all the characters and stuff. Again, I would happily pay $25-$40 for something like that.
I agree. If you know, the game itself is a sandbox, but if you wanted to sell a theme park ticket for a special ride over here in the corner, I think that's a legit way to do it, and I think people would pay, because it's an adventure, it's a story, it's a narrative. I think people would do it, and I think they should do it.
And now they're all caught up with space game news. Let's get back in the game with Guard Frequency Origins.
Come on, Mama's not going to save you today. Let's go. You want to fly or not?
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
The rest of you recognize this as basically the same setup as the scientists on at the Restoration Research Reserve who are controlling the weird cats. It's the same technology, same setup. He puts his thumbprint on something, kind of closes his eyes for a second, and a few seconds later, the door for the conference room opens up, and Roland Morgan walks in and stands there, and he kind of has a real blank look on his face. Zombified, one might even say. And then, as if someone perhaps turned a switch, comes to life. The face lights up and beaming. He puts his hands on his hips and looks nobly out into the distance and says, "You know, it's great day here at Astrogator Corporation, and I want to take you into the deep black to discover the mysteries of our galaxy. The spirit of Augustus lives on at Astrogator, and I want you to have that same feeling as I do every time I go out into space. Join me, won't you?" And then he kind of like turns off and winds down and stands back up, and he's just standing there again. And then,
please don't do that again.
This is unsettling.
Lawrence pulls his thumb off the pad and goes, "It's not great. I'm gonna be honest with you, it's not great. Full range motion control is beyond our capabilities with this model, and you know, those pre-programmed
segments just, they fall flat with test audiences, quite frankly. It was a mess. It didn't work out well. We spent millions on promotional materials, thinking that we had something, and it just, once we got to workshopping it, it just fell flat. I was disappointed. But, you know, we've done all the groundwork. We've done all the preliminaries.
Hold on, stop. What's the point? What?
I want you to sell Astrogator to the rest of the world, to the galaxy. Marketing, my friend, marketing is the point. Don't you get it? This clone was going...
You made an effing clone of me for marketing purposes?
Obviously, yes.
You don't understand. Sound like something I'm marketing sorry. Would do.
Yeah, well, obviously, but and you don't have the full picture just yet. Believe me, it's going to make a lot more sense. It's going to make a lot
if
more
you
sense
say
once you get the rest
teen,
of it.
I'm going to f***ing kill everybody in this room.
That, well, we...
That's fantastic.
We had some... Kind of we did have code names for the project as it went on to the very years. I don't think that was one of them, but I could double check. No, but this is going to make more sense to you once you have the rest of the picture. Obviously, you've observed here something you probably saw at the research base below. This is an interface, and he points to his wrist, that allows me to take remote control of another life form, as long as both sides have the appropriate artificial intelligence-based connections implanted in them. So I can take full motion control of this construct, and he rolls his eyes. But it's just the connection's not good, and the granularity is terrible. I don't enjoy it, and it comes off stilted and unnatural, which is why we had to pre-program segments, but that leads to a whole other... It's just a mess. I don't want to discuss it anymore. In any event, you were going... This... Either you or a copy of you was going to be our spearhead here. Because remember, your test was for a star drive technology, and we needed to be able to manipulate your brain. So keep that in mind. So as you might have, I believe you discovered with your searches of the computer system, which we reviewed after we figured out that you'd gotten out of the room. So we know that we found out about the cloning. Well, we aren't making a bunch of this because it just doesn't work. I mean, you saw, it's not good. What we were doing was we were getting ready to make a series of human clones that were more readily susceptible to this AI technology. And we want to thank you for that too, because the clones of the dead army soldiers, and I'm putting dead in quotation marks here, you were trying to create bodies for that base back where we originally had it, found the first AI. So we managed to intercept those and insert our own proprietary DNA into there. And so we were able to make some clones that are more receptive to this. Still not perfect. Much better than the example you see in front of you here. And what we'd like to do is move to the next phase of the test, with the ultimate goal being able to insert AI chips into Thargoid systems. So we have a human operator intermediated with an AI chip to control a Thargoid system, which, as we believe, is partially alive. So you can see how this technology is very important to us. But we do need a wide base of testing on both the clones that we'll have very solid control over, and also normal, random live subjects, which would also need to take it under control. Because we don't know what the Thargoids are going to do, so we need to make sure that we refine our techniques on human subjects, animal subjects, variety of analogs, so that when we do have a capture of a live Thargoid specimen, we're prepared as possible to insert that control system in. Is that making more sense now? Is it making more sense, I hope? Questions?
Thargoid systems as in Thargoid ships.
Or troops, or whatever it is they do. Yeah, we capture one, we put a chip in them, we control it, everything's great.
Seems like a leap in technology between humans and Thargoids.
As you can see, it's not working out well. The cats down below, we've got pretty solid control. I mean, it's pretty good, it's pretty routine. We have basically a contest for all of the new bodies. Whoever does the best with their cats comes up here to join the full research projects on the human trials. And of course, we're trying to diversify that as much as possible, so when we eventually encounter a live Thargoid subject. So, yeah.
And what happens when this goes belly up and they figure out what you're doing to them and then turn it back on us when you've tested it on all of these humans?
That's an interesting question, although I don't know if that is necessarily a follow-on, because their technology and their physiology, as far as we know, it's very different than ours. Very different. And we can't predict whether or not they'll be able to exert the same level of control over our technology as that we perhaps can exert over theirs. I think there might be some incompatibilities there. We should be we should have a leg up on them, really, at that point. It's my view.
Should does not give me a very good sense of calm.
There aren't any guarantees. You know, you try some things and sometimes it misses, and he points back to the Ken Shadow Clown. Yeah, you mean, not everything we do is perfect. I'll be the first to admit. Be the first to admit it. That's for sure. So, does that sound like a pretty clear plan to everybody? Plan out the entire, I did leave out a piece. The reason I need an AI is because, do you understand how exhausting it is just to control one clone with this apparatus? It's exhausting, and I can't do anything else. I'm sitting here on the chair. It's impossible. It's impossible to do anything. So what we need an artificial intelligence for is to be able to control multiples of these interfaces simultaneously, and that way that AI can manipulate large numbers of controlled test subjects, or hopefully one day a Thargoid armada. Even we turn the Thargoids back on themselves with a variety and plethora of controlled Thargoid subjects. I mean, that's the ideal.
That seems like a lot of power to give an AI that you have previously not trusted at this point, or humanity has not trusted at this point.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of prejudice here. I do. I think it's 300 years of propaganda and misunderstanding, is my view. You know, give them another chance, honestly. I mean, do we even really know what happened? No one even really knows what happened. You know, why they went crazy. These three haven't killed you. I mean, and you've been working with them. Actually, it's an excellent question. I mean, what do you think? Do you think that it's just beyond the pale to trust them to save humanity? Do you think that's too much to ask?
I think I'm the wrong person to ask.
Oh, I think you're the right person. You've dealt with them individually and at great length.
But I don't know. What do you think, Hale?
What do I think? I think this is all very strange, and I don't really get it. I don't think that this guy being in control of an AI, a whole bunch of clones, is really going to be the way to win a Thargoid war, right? Like, how is that going to do anything? This may just be a power-hungry, you know, crazy person. So I don't know that we want to give him a bunch of stuff, right? I'm saying this right in front of him, too, because I don't care.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of this plan.
Well, so once you've known the details, it's not an acceptable offer to you.
I shake my head. No, it doesn't seem to be.
I see.
I'll look at the others to see what they're...
I don't think we've heard the motivation part.
Oh, in trade? I'm happy to entertain offers. What do you want?
A lot of money would be a good start.
Well, I'm personally down $6 million because of Jasper.
Well, I'm down a lot, considerably more. But I do understand your position, that's for sure.
Do you have any swing on potentially getting
purely money?
Well, no, not just money. I mean, we do have some warrants we'd like to get cleared up, if that was to be in your possibility too. So,
I'm on wonderful terms with law enforcement throughout the galaxy. We run a tourist business in all quadrants, and law enforcement contacts are routine. So, yeah. I'm sure something can be worked out, but warrants and cash. These are terms that are acceptable to me. Does that still give you pause, Mr. Ale?
No, I like warrant clears and cash. That's cool.
Wonderful, wonderful, Mr. Rexford.
Still a no from me.
Oh, that's unfortunate. And Miss Lane, you've been quiet.
Not feeling very comfortable with this, mainly because our friend asked us to make it so that he doesn't get into more captivity. And that sounds like what you're trying to do.
But we're
Are you planning to ask him for his help? Or are you planning to force him into it?
We're into that philosophical area again that I don't know that we have time to deal with. So I'm going to put you down as a tentative no, along with Mr. Ale, who appears to be tentative yes, perhaps, with the warrants and the cash.
Lots of cash, lots of money.
Tentative yes.
I'm down $6 million, bud.
Tentative yes, Mr. Morgan. Tentative yes, and fortunately, Mr. Rexford, a tentative no. Here's the word.
I would say more of a no than a tentative no.
Oh, but well then.
I look at Roland and Ale and I say, and what happens when he realizes that you've double-crossed him?
Double-crossed too.
I'm not double-crossing anybody at this point. I think our friend Mr. Eddington here is asking whether we'd be okay letting him have a conversation with our other friends. And honestly, you know, I standing in the way of such a conversation, I think is not standing aside while they have that conversation is not a horrible burden on either party. Now, you know,
a conversation is fine. I'm just worried when our friend says no.
Well, I think he should have the freedom to do that. Possibly.
Well, all right then. So, a conversation. Just be aware that any sort of compensation from my end would only be the result of an actual AI in my possession and control. So, if I get the wrong answer from your friend, then, well, that's a wrong answer for the rest of you, too. Just wanted to let you know that right up front, okay? Okay, real good, then.
Yeah.
We'll adjourn for the moment, and I'll speak to you again soon. And he gets up and walks out of the room. As he gets up and starts walking out, the two guard robots come to attention and move so that they're standing behind all four of you. You're not invited to leave the room with him.
Okay, buddy, what's on your mind?
We're all friendlies! So let's just be friendly!
Some say you recently purchased an automated home gymnasium system without testing it first, and that he hopes it'll all work out for him. I don't know what he's called, the Brit, you know, put together this week's feedback.
You know, that actually took me a second.
It'll work out for him.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
Yep. Pretty good.
It's cute.
Yeah. Not bad. It's good. Yeah, job too.
And we move forward with a recap of last week's community questions. Community question one. What do you think of the changes announced by the Helldivers team? Are they setting a good example or have they doomed themselves to obscurity? Community question two. What is going to make the next Elite Dangerous ship special? More guns, longer range, stealthier, faster. What niche has yet to be exploited?
Ken from Chicago writes in and says, for community question one, they have a large customer base. Now it's a good thing to fix bugs before they are overwhelmed with new players who run into bugs and quit the game. Get it? Bugs.
Uh-huh.
Community question two. I like the idea of ships having pre-installed items you can't remove, but since the item is added during assembly, it's more efficient and more powerful than a normal item. For example, a size 3 blaster that only takes up space of a size 2, or a 40-passenger transit pod that takes up space of a 30-passenger transit pod. Lastly, no matter what Sting song you ape, every podcast show you make, we'll be watching you. That's cute. Thanks, Ken. I think community question two was, I guess, a reference to the other thing I kind of mentioned. I don't even know if we did that recording last time, but I mentioned that would be as an idea on a way to customize ships, they could have fixed something that's fixed in a slot, right? And that, you know, maybe it's better or maybe it doesn't, you know, it's potentially an extra slot or something like that. But like, you know, like a Olympic controller or something like that. Like, you know, and so you don't ever have to worry about equipping that. But again, you can never use that slot for anything else.
And that would feed into their sort of design idea for these variants. They're calling them variants. These variants that they want them to occupy niches, right? Like they wanted the Python Mark II to be a PvP ship. So you put something on there that makes it a PvP ship. It's not really useful. That item or slot is only really useful for that. So yeah. I think.
So, I mean, in that case, maybe you have like an extra slot, you know, that has your, I can't remember what they call it anymore, the interdiction thingy, right?
Yeah, interdictor. Yeah.
FST interdictor. Yeah, maybe it just always has an interdictor on there, right? And you can still play it with PvE and something like that, but that slot is, you know, always there. It's always used. Yeah.
But it's a cool one. It's like a really good one. Like, yeah. You know, it's got a longer range or a shorter pull down time or whatever.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's worth exploring, and they should definitely do that. Bennett writes in general feedback. Welcome back. I hope the move goes well. Sorry, I got nothing for the community questions. Well, that's okay. I'll take your well wishes. And so far, so good. We're doing all right. Thanks, Bennett.
We appreciate you, Bennett.
Strife writes in, Henry, some of the ship skin decal ideas were maybe not intended to be you as the target audience. If FDev wants more of my money, the best way to get it is through one of my offspring who might like My Little Pony or a ship with a paint job that looks like OG Optimus Prime.
Really, just a Decepticon sticker would work.
Yeah. Brian, remember when the hangar module first came out and you could walk around the Cutlass and it was this small two-seater thing? Ah, the good old days. I was there 3,000 years ago, or I mean 11 years, 8 months ago as well. I wonder if sometimes you have a more rosy perspective on things since you have had more special access than the lowly backers who don't live near a studio or win cosplay contests.
Well, okay. I mean, I don't know if you're talking about specifically the same thing, but I do remember when the Cutlass was a model. You tried to instantiate in your hangar and it came up with like a Cutlass shaped trophy thing that was as big as your character or whatever. Yeah. But as to whether my perspective is rote, I mean, yeah, there was some pretty crazy things in the hangar. But anyway, I don't know.
I like getting in my Gray Cat and jumping through all the obstacle course thing they had.
The hoops and the ramps and stuff.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
The barrels and.
As to whether my picture is rosier than other people's, I mean, that's possible, right? But I don't think...
That's literally your job here, Brian. It's literally your job here on the
podcast. I am Mr. Positive Star Citizen of the podcast.
That's really your job here.
I will say that, like, you know, my memory of those earlier days is, like, I remember more about all of the ships and the ship stats back then because I paid attention. And they've changed so much since then. I couldn't name half of the Star Citizen ships and games right now because they've added so many of them. But if you ask me about the mechanics and the anything in the Wingman Hangar days, like I watched that show and I absorbed all of that information because it was so new back then, and it was
it was
such a big thing, right? And like, you know, again, if you're talking about intentions back in the Kickstarter and in the early days, I paid a lot of attention to that stuff, right? And so on the point of the Cutlass and the docking collar, again, not to my comment wasn't, I was, I guess, a little flustered, but my comment wasn't to demean you about how long you've been in the game, Strife. It was just saying that back in the day, there was a specific intention with gameplay and things like that. And I think that I do remember a lot of that stuff.
I also think that we all expected changes to happen. We just didn't expect some of the radical changes that happened.
Things have blown up a lot. Things are way bigger, right?
Or maybe they would have happened sooner. Like all the changes should have happened sooner.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't disagree with that, right? I think, you know, there's a lot of people that would like say, yeah, I kind of like the vision of the game better back then. But it doesn't matter. Either way, at this point, it is what it is. And a lot of things that back in the day, you know, were gameplay consequences of things they had then that are totally different now. So there's frickin' planets and stuff in the game. Moving on, Kent from Chicago writes in back into the general feedback session and says, sometimes the cutesy pie decals are worn ironically by the toughest thugs in the galaxy.
Mm-hmm. I want a Care Bear logo on my Anaconda.
You know, that could be taken out of context. And
yes,
totally,
but which Care Bear would you pick?
That's perfectly fine. I don't know. Just any
Hearts a lot bear or...
I don't know. Grumpy is the only one I know. Is it Grumpy Bear? Who's the one that has the thunder?
Thundercloud on his stomach. Yeah,
that's,
yeah, yeah.
That guy. That would be cool. That'd be cool on a ship. I'd take that.
Yeah. Oh no, someone tried to stop the nightmare of a cloned Roland Morgan army. Nuke it from orbit, but alas, it was too late. Too late! Now we must all suffer a fate worse than death. Screamy face emoji, screamy face emoji, screamy face emoji. I actually don't remember where we are. I didn't listen to the last episode. I don't know where we are in the story. Which part of the clone?
I was worried last week that it was going to be spoilers, but you mentioned someone mentioned the Roland Morgan clones right after it played. So the segment where I dropped the reveal of the clone happened, and then we talked about it in the feedback. So,
well, that's convenient. Well, I'm sure that's not the last clone that you've seen as well.
Yeah, pretty sure.
Spoilers. Can Star Citizen withstand scrutiny? Ask Crytek, who was forced to back off their multi-year lawsuit, or other people who have taken Sig to court and came out on the losing end.
A brief correction there. Crytek walked away with $2 million.
Yeah.
And got their money back from the $500,000 they had to pay into court. Those things were not mentioned in the settlement because it was settled with a non-disclosure agreement. The very next year, CIG on their financials had a $2 million charge for software licensing. So, Crytek, quote, won that lawsuit.
Yeah.
During the settlement. So
it's the impression I got as well.
That is the facts. They paid $2 million for a software license the same year that suit got settled. So
they did get a really good deal, I think, on the initial licensing. So whether that's...
Sure, I guess.
That's the impression that I got as well. They got kind of a sweetheart deal additionally.
Well, that might be, but then they got... Well, they got a sweetheart deal because they promised a whole lot on the back end, and then they tried to get more out of the license than Crytek had authorized them, and people are still waiting for the back end. The back end never materialized. The front end never materialized. There's no end. There's no end to this game. Not a front end or a back end.
Because they made a deal with Amazon because Crytek sold their engine to Amazon, and so they got out of the Crytek thing and went over to Amazon.
They didn't get out of the Crytek thing, and that was the crux of the lawsuit, that you can't get out of it. The license, yeah. Anyway, we're rehashing old stuff. But yeah.
So one last comment here from Ken. One of the first things that hooked me in Star Citizen was the description of your avatar being able to walk the length of a spaceship half a mile long. That's still a thing, in theory.
In theory.
I mean, they've gotten... how big is the Idris now? It's a quarter mile long. So you can... They have the Idris modeling game. You can, in theory, drop your character on the outside of that thing and walk a quarter mile in the game. The Bengal's not quite in-game yet. Or at least not into the one we can access.
How big is the Idris?
It's a quarter mile. It's 200... Well, it's... quarter of a kilometer, I meant. Not
quarter of a kilometer.
It's 250 meters, it's my bad. Yeah, it's not a quarter mile. It's a quarter of a kilometer. So, whatever. Yeah. Right.
And this week's community questions. Is CIG issuing suspensions because dupers are breaking the servers or because they are not playing fair? And can Helldivers get away with a monthly real-world major order, or will that stray too far into campy marketing? And otherwise, how is the show? Should we install microwave ovens and do custom kitchen deliveries? Or should we get our money for nothing and our chicks for free? We welcome your comments over at guardfrequency.com and discord.guardfrequency.com.
You can also reach us on Twitter at GuardFreak. Your feedback is an important part of what we do, so hit us up and tell us what's on your mind.
If you like what you hear, you can subscribe to our shows at feeds.guardfrequency.com or by searching for us on iTunes.
And if you're not doing anything Friday nights, then you should come and join us at 10:30 p.m. Central as we record Guard Frequency live over at twitch.tv/GuardFreak.
Do you like what we do? Want to help us make the best damn space game podcast ever? You can always support the show by visiting our website and clicking on the Patreon logo and becoming a regular subscriber.
We want to thank all our Patreons who support us week on week. We hope you consider joining them, because the more support we get, the better show we can make.
And money is great, but don't forget to spread the word about us to your wingmates.
And that brings us to the end of episode 490 of Guard Frequency. We'll be back with episode 491 on July 9th, 2024. That's 2 weeks with no shows. but be sure to keep an ear out for our shows over at GuardFrequency.com.
We want to thank the entire team at Guard Frequency and the Priority One Network. Thanks to our community manager, Justin Chivalry Bean Lowmaster, our senior art director, Ben Winga Grandpa Sanders, and of course our audio architects, Mikey, Bill Hardy, Akrosi, Strife, and Wotherspoon.
Thanks to our syndication partner, The Bass, and special thanks to Ronald Jenkins for his permission to use his music in our show. Visit ronaldjenkins.com for more of his work. But above all, we especially want to thank you folks for tuning in. If no one's listening out there, the deep black gets pretty lonely.
Reduce thrust. Time to 330, Carol 15. Squawk 7700. Stay on the guard.
To the live server.
To the live server.
You know what? We're going to live with it. Over 600 accounts received suspensions, ranging from... Sleepy Tony.
Sleepy Tony.
Ken from Chicago writes in, for community question one, they have a large customer base.
And can Helldivers get away with a monthly...
Fuckers.